following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody, and welcome to Turn 108 of A Worthy Opponent. It's a podcast based on the Blizzard game, Hearthstone. I am Blacklace. There is no Ugly Brute, unfortunately, this week. In fact, for the next couple of weeks, he is playing out somewhere in the Down Under. But with me, as always, is Autumnsbane. Hi!
Adorable. Immune to magic. Doesn't pee on the rug. The perfect pet.
That's not a Hearthstone card, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes,
I was
it
thinking
is.
It sounded like what we were going to be talking about later. But since it's an adorable little pet, it's not a... can't possibly be a spider. Is it the new expansion?
No, this one's not from the new expansion.
Is it a sprite darter? What is it?
Very close. Because in WoW, they call them sprite darters. In Hearthstone, they call it Fairy Dragon. Two casting costs, 3/2 dragon. Can't be targeted by spells or hero powers.
Right. I meant that. I've just been playing Hearthstone, so...
I've been so playing ask with my... me why I chose that one.
Because our child loves the Sprite Darters, and our child has started playing Hearthstone.
Right.
And also plays Brightwing all the time in Heroes of the Storm.
Right. So our kids started playing Blizzard games again and started playing Heroes of the Storm and plays Brightwing almost exclusively and got to like max level in like 3 days of intense playing, mostly with this one thing. So we got him to play Hearthstone, and we thought it would be great. Hey, our kid could play Hearthstone, but there's been some issues. You want to talk about them now or later?
Well, no, I had a major issue I thought we'd talk about first, which is the Avast virus notification slamming down Hearthstone.
Yeah, we should talk about that first, because that's why we're delayed in recording.
Right. We were a little bit late. We went to log into Hearthstone, which had a brand new patch today. Which we'll talk about later. And we got hit with an antivirus. We use Avast. And it basically shut Hearthstone down. And every time you try to open Hearthstone, we'd get an error. And I'm sure a lot of people have found that happening. If you are using Avast, the way to get that taken care of is to open your Avast. If you don't have the virus chest right up open on your interface, you can go into scan and then scan for viruses. And in the bottom left, the thing to check is the quarantine virus chest. And if you click on Hearthstone, you can exclude it. And then you can actually play Hearthstone again.
It's like add with exclusions or something like
Correct.
That.
Correct. So that's how you can get past the, without disabling your antivirus. You can actually just let it exclude the Hearthstone. And then it played normally after that. But it took a lot of research to get that working.
In a very short amount of time, we finish dinner after getting home from work. We come upstairs, we plug in our Hearthstones, and first I get this error message, which is major. It even has a link that takes you straight to the Blizzard page, and then it happened to you too.
And then we went to the forums, and the forums are blowing up. Just like within the last 16 seconds, something went wrong trying to blah, blah, blah. That is literally the name of the post is something went wrong trying to blah, blah, blah. Cannot Start Client, latest version of Avast Detecting Hearthstone, Event Evo Gen Virus, installing
and a lot of them
problems.
Were like 1 minute ago.
Yeah, this is 16 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 11 minutes, 14 minutes, 19 minutes. So this is all happening right now.
I guess it shows a lot of people have gone from paying for Norton to using Avastin for free.
That's true.
Avast.
Well, they did write this as solved. So I'm not seeing many blue posts, but I think players are helping players, which is always a nice thing to say.
Well, that's how we were helped.
Yep. Okay, so that was
so
the thing.
The technical support forums are not the cesspool that I call the general forums. You
Correct.
Can actually find help on them.
Correct. So, yeah, if you had the Avast virus. Now, if there are other kinds of viruses being detected or other interfaces that are having problems, go to the forums. Maybe you can find your answer there. But a lot of people are having this problem. So hopefully this is solved some. Okay, back to the kid.
Okay. So it's funny that while our kid is having this issue, Ben Brode is also doing little videos. And in the video, he says a number of things. Maybe we'll talk more about it. But the key takeaway issue, statement that I had taken exception with is new players aren't losing to power creep. They're losing because, well, they're new players.
Right.
And he's assuming that new players to Hearthstone, he actually says many of them have never played card games before. So let's talk about my kid. Who has played lots and lots of card games
Neopets
before.
And Pokemon and
Pokemon
Magic
and Magic
even.
The Gathering and all these things since she could barely walk. And that's not going to help her when her card collection has all of 40 cards in it. And the first day she plays, she faces a golden hunter,
mage.
Was it?
Was it a hunter or a mage? I think it was a mage.
It doesn't matter. The first time somebody plays in play mode, they should not be playing a golden
hero.
Wait
a second. We might have to amend this.
How so?
What if it was she was playing against Medivh? If the person purchased Medivh, it's going to look like a gold player. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, you're saying that he might be wrong?
She might, yeah.
Okay, it would have been nice
you
to
see
know
what I'm
that
saying?
Before I started rambling
no,
on about this.
I just thought of that. We want to make sure that,
No, she said it was a golden Illyria. That's what he said. So, in any event, so the one issue that still remains is, you can still pay to win. So let's assume that Blizzard did not screw up with the MMR and pit him against a golden hero and assume that was his mistake. But remember when we were first playing and we play a game and somebody had like six legends in the game and now new players have to face something we didn't face, all of the special solo adventures and the cards from there. So things like Flame Waker, if you've never bought any wing of any solo adventure, then, you know, you're facing...
You can't have the Flame Waker.
Flame Wakers and certain legends that are from there.
And I mean, so, combos that are just so good now, the Flame Waker and the Knife Juggler, I mean, these are newer expansions and newer adventures that give you access to these cards, so... It is harder for the starter players to start now. It definitely is. And it's not necessarily the skill. It's the availability of the cards. And that actually leads into an email. And I'm going to go completely off our normal beaten path. We usually do the emails at the end of the show. But since it's just you and me, I'm just going to read this.
Okay.
Okay. I hope you're staying warm in Vermont. You're funny. Recently, I decided to purchase a pack of cards and found myself once again at the conundrum, which pack to buy. An original pack in hopes of getting a legendary I might still not have. GVG in case there's something I am missing there. TGT because there's got to be something I'm missing there. Then it occurred to me, why do I have to choose? Why isn't there a grab bag pack we can choose from where we can get a random mix of cards from all the expansions? As Hearthstone gets older and older, and this list of expansion decks gets longer and longer, doesn't a grab bag pack make sense? Just a little food for thought and discussion. Thanks and Merry Christmas to you both. Well,
why do I like that?
Thank you, Mike. Why do you like that, Eno?
Yeah, because when we were brainstorming questions to ask the Blizzard developer, the unknown Blizzard developer, we didn't know who was going to be on. They said, submit some questions that you would like to ask. And I actually brought up the idea of, I didn't call it a grab bag, but of maybe making specialty decks, maybe making like a pack designed for each class. So if you wanted rogue heavy cards, you could do that. But the idea has been tossed around before, and this writer has a similar idea that there's got to be ways to... Ringo in the chat room is saying that the solo adventure should be reduced in price after all this time so that newer players can catch up. It's just tough for a new player to catch up and knowing which cards to buy. So what did we buy him for Christmas? We bought the 7-pack or the 5-pack for $7.99. And then four of
each. Two packs of the GVG and two packs of the TVT.
And that was enough to take that losing mage deck that he had to turn it into a winning enough deck that he could then do his daily quest. But before he got those extra cards, dead in the water every time. So yeah, I think there's lots of ways they can alter how you purchase cards. And they have done some stuff like rewarding you for with the treasure chests. But the point is you have to get to those ranks first.
But if the rewards can be mixed, why can't the packs be mixed?
Exactly. I'm just saying one of the ways you can get those extra cards is to rank up. But if you can't even win because you're new, then you're not going to rank up that quick.
Well, Nick Mac also said in the chat room, think with the more time they will make package deals like with WoW. Not only WoW.
Heroes
of the Storm. I mean, they had their second chance bundles. Yep. So maybe that's the key. Have the bundles, or even, you know, if you're buying 7 packs, have 3 packs be one, 2 packs be another, 2 packs be another. I mean, and eventually they're going to...
Or how about buy all 4 wings of Naxxramas and get, you know, 3 of each of the expansion packs free. I mean, something.
Yeah, definitely.
And people spend money for those promotions, because I bought a bundle in Heroes of the Storm when I wasn't looking to spend a penny more on Heroes of the Storm. And then that bundle went on sale, and I laid my money down.
Yeah, that's because you like sexy Jaina.
All right, so Jaina's Santa suit is cute. What can I say?
I was in it for the tiger. I didn't get it, but I was in it for the tiger. I would have gotten it for the tiger. Well, I wish they'd sell the mounts. But that's not the game we're talking about here. Sorry.
Right, but the writer has, I think, a very good suggestion. The chat room seems all in favor of it.
Yeah.
Ben Brode said at BlizzCon they're looking for ways to help the newer player. But 2 years into a game, 2 expansions and 3 adventures later, it's just making that gap between the brand new player and the experienced player wider and wider. It's like getting into World of Warcraft and not using that boost to level 90 and just leveling from 1 to 100 is brutal. And what's going to happen for most new players? They're just going to quit. They're going to get frustrated and quit. So WoW came out with the boost. Well, there's no equivalent boost in Hearthstone, is there?
Nope, not really. Not really. So basically what he said, as he said, new players don't just lose games because they're using basic cards, which are worse than the better versions of them. They're new players. I disagree. He was also playing against people who had quite a few legendaries now. Granted, a new person can purchase decks or card packs and get legendaries, but the sad thing is we got him 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 packs, and the most he got was 1 epic in 11 packs. Oh my god,
one
the
epic
RNG.
And no legends.
Yeah, the RNG was so not on his side.
Yeah,
so.
And new players have the advantage of being able to go on the web and find decks that really work, but they only really work if you have the cards to put in them.
Yep. Yep. So, hopefully this will be fixed, but right now it's still an issue no matter what anybody says, unfortunately.
And you know, when a game is brand new, there's a mechanism there for people to spend a lot of money. It's new, people want to hop on, and so a million people are all buying cards at the same time, they're learning to play at the same time, and they're building their decks at the same time, and it's not the same as the person coming in 2 years later, because, you know, the incentive to just pop down $100 is just not there, because they don't know what the outcome is going to be. No, they're here to test the waters. They're not the diehards mm-hmm. that all got in right away, you know?
Right.
Our kid is not the only one that's had this problem. We know other people who just dropped out because they couldn't
keep up.
It's frustrating. It's like playing PvP in WoW when you've never played PvP. Go in, die. Go in, die. Go
so
in, die. How many times do you want to do that?
Yeah, I mean... Again, I think he was playing against a purchased Medivh or a purchased the Hunter.
Yeah. The more we talk about it, the more I think that's the case.
But still, the point of it was that, you know, here he'd only played a couple of games and was being slam dunked by someone who had bunches of legendaries, so.
Probably some net deck, and then they bought all the cards, you know, tons of cards to make what they needed. And,
but even a beginner, how would they know? I don't know.
Well, a beginner can go and watch a stream of a famous player and copy their deck and see how to play it.
Or just grab a deck online that looks good and try to dust and create. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So that's our little vent there, how new players are just running into brick walls. But let's talk about card backs.
Oh yeah, lots of card backs. So the patch that made our computers think we had a virus had lots and lots of stuff in it. So let's go through it. You want to start with the card backs?
Yeah, I don't know if you realize it, but the winter card back, the holiday card back, mm-hmm. is a snow globe. The Hearthstone's in the snow globe. And then there are candy canes around it, and there are lights around it, and there are holly berries in the corners, and darned if it doesn't look like a piece of chocolate.
Interesting.
It's just really, really pretty. And the thing is, we were saying originally, well, what's going on here? Because we won't be able to play with this obvious Yule, Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday design. Why are we going to get it in January? Makes no sense. But this is not the December card back. The Wintervale wreath is going to be acquired by celebrating the Wintervale in Hearthstone. And that's part of the patch. They've got some game boards that are updated for this season. And I'm not sure what you're going to have to do to earn the card back. It might just be playing on some of the winter boards might release this. It's not clear. But so this isn't the December card back. This is just the Wintervale card back. It's like a little Christmas present.
Well, if you go into your catalog, the patch actually put all of the cards in the catalog. And if you go into crafting mode and click on it, it's much better than you're looking at it at Hearthstone.
Really?
There are Christmas lights surrounding that snow globe.
Right.
And they're lighting up. And there's
snow. Is the snow globe got moved? Oh, it's moving.
The snow globe has snow falling in the snow globe. So it says, a beautiful winter veil wreath around a snow globe full of the frosty destruction of your opponents, I mean good cheer, acquired from the Feast of Winter Veil, required from the Feast of Winter Veil Tavern Brawl. So you probably have to win a Tavern Brawl to get it.
Okay.
Very clever, Blizzard.
That's awesome. Hey, Ugly Brute. He's going to have to play.
Ugly
He's
Brute
will
take.
He's going to have to play.
Yep.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to look at that later. Right now,
it's
I can't see it.
It's a beautiful card.
It's got candy canes. Yes, it is. And yeah, and it's definitely, there's snow glittering on the candy canes. The lights lighting up, the snow filtering. It's pretty. But that's not it.
So let's
also
talk about...
Also in December.
Yeah, December.
You do the next one. There are four of them to talk about.
Yeah, there are four, and I found the three of them. Let me find the other fourth one. No, that's...
It's not in here.
Wait,
the Thunder Bluff is... Okay. December. What are they calling it?
Nope, the four are... Well, there's Thrall.
Thrall is
February.
One.
It says Thrall is February. And Love is in the Air is January. And Thunder Bluff is December. That's the
one. Okay, Thunder Bluff is December.
Okay, unofficial slogan. Great warriors come from happy Tauren tribes. Happy Tauren come from Thunder Bluff. Acquired from achieving rank 20 in ranked play, December 2015. So they put them in reverse order.
Kind of looks trollish.
Remember I said that they were going to be putting in all the cities? They put in Dalaran. They put in Darnassus. They put in Exodar.
Yep.
Well, now we've got a Horde city. This is Thunder Bluff, and it looks very Thunder Bluffish.
And
because
the,
it's got feathers, it's got totems, it's got wood carvings.
Yeah, the leaves are like blowing in the wind. It's got little totem poles with glowing eyes. And of course, it's got the horns.
Are
they feathers or are they leaves?
Feathers. Feathers.
They're green. Okay,
green feathers.
Okay, fine. You're right.
They're on a
we have
bird
parrots.
Totem.
I should know that. We have parrots. But it is very pretty. And it's got broken Tauren horns. That kind of looks painful, actually.
Yeah, why would they have broken horns on there?
But it's a pretty card back. It looks like somebody took crayon and did the Hearthstone symbol. They painted it on the shield. It's cool.
Yeah, so anyone who likes Native American or Midwestern motifs will probably like this.
Yep. And then if you're into pink, because it looks like Hearthstone's into pink...
I'm going to throw up.
I'm sorry. Many believe goblins made up this holiday to sell candy. It's not true. They also sell flowers and perfume, acquired from achieving rank 20 in ranked play January 2016. So in February, you've got this pink card with little pink bows and little pink sparkly hearts. It's a cookie.
Well, I like that they... have you earn it in January so you could play it in February during the holiday period that it actually applies.
Which is Love It's in the Air.
Right, but the hearts, the special effects on the hearts and the sparkles are really pretty, but it's just so sickeningly sweet and pretty. It's revolting. I want to throw up.
Okay, so why don't you turn over to Thrall then?
Okay, Thrall. That's more like it. Thrall is a pretty good looking card. I'm very curious as to why they're making a Thrall card, because, you know, he's a hero. But it says here, the World Shaman is probably the best-known celebrity in Azeroth. It's a mystery that his signature necklace never caught on as a fashion trend. Because it's an ugly necklace. Acquired from achieving rank 20 in ranked play, February 2016. So you think they're going to start going through all the notorious players in the game?
I don't know.
Could be.
Varian Wrynn card back?
We did pay, you know, some people did pay for three different ones. Magni, Illyria, Medivh. So maybe those start shuffling in the character ones.
I don't know. Maybe I never noticed his necklace, but this card doesn't scream Thrall to me.
Oh, well, it doesn't really look like his necklace except for the corner pieces of the gigantic red balls that he wears around his neck when he's in the shaman gear.
I suppose.
But no, they've got, like, axe blades. You think it would be
the
a Doomhammer. Yeah, it doesn't scream. It screams orc to
me, but
not Thrall.
It's a nice card back.
It
really is a very nice card back. In fact, the really cool thing is, on the axe blades, where they're sharp, there's a glisten. It's almost like if you're moving it and you're looking at actual metal, it kind of changes the color and shimmer. It shimmers. It's really pretty.
Yeah, the art department's on the top of their game with these cards.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're not even cards. They're just card backs.
But I will definitely be playing that Winter Veil card back. I won't be playing Love is in the Air. I like pink. I do.
This is an advertisement for Pepto-Bismol.
I'm sorry, Blizzard. But the hearts are gorgeous and the sparkles are nice, too.
If they get any 6-year-old girls to play Hearthstone, then there's the audience.
There you go. Now, we're going to be seeing people playing these card backs. Blizzard's got so much stuff going on with the holidays. With the card backs and the other things going on, there's also something that's very important, and that's the spirit of giving. And one of the things that Blizzard is great at is giving to charities. And they have the cutest little bear. Not a bear. It's a cat. What was I talking about? I'm thinking of paws and thinking of teddy bears. No. Make-A-Wish is one of the... They sponsor Make-A-Wish a lot, actually. And Bright Paw is the little purple panther that they're going to be giving as a gift. For every $10 you donate to get this pet, the entire amount is going to Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, they do this every year with some vanity pet. And this year, it's this cute little vanity kitten called Bright Paw, and it matches, like so many of the other pets have, it matches the mount that has recently come out, which I actually bought.
Yep, and they actually, there's a poll online right now asking which combinations you like the most, and this Bright Paw with the mount that you got is one of the combos, and then there's that Celestial, the gold dragon with the little gold dragon.
The ones I got you for Christmas a few years ago.
Couple years ago, yep. That one was another one. The raven with the little raven. I mean, there are probably a dozen different ones that they're doing a poll, and this one is the top. I mean, no holds barred. This one just blew the charts. I don't know if it's just because it's brand new, but it is really adorable. And the biggest thing is that 100% of the adoption fee for this little kitten goes to Make-A-Wish until December 31st.
Yeah, you can still buy it after December 31st, but the money won't go to charity unless you buy it before then. So after the podcast tonight, we'll each be buying one because we always give to this promotion.
Yep, I love that Blizzard does that. So, yeah, so that's another thing we wanted to mention tonight. We have lots of fun stuff. Clobberin' time. We didn't talk about Clobberin' time.
Clobberin' time. So you're Clobberin' talking time. About the brawl.
I've just moved over. I have no segue there at all. It was just like, bump, cute little kitty, boom, slam dunk.
You going to clobber the kitty?
No. Okay, the name of Clobberin' time this week, which is actually the brawl, is Dex Assemble. All of Azeroth wants to brawl for you. Start with a small deck, recruit as you go, and send them to fight over and over.
It was fun.
It was.
I enjoyed it.
Very weird. I had to play it once, poorly, to try to figure out what was even going on. Because what would happen is you get your cards, and you got a couple of coins, and you got very low-cost minions. And you got to play things really quick. Chickens. Yes.
Lots of chickens.
Yep. And you got to play things really quick. And then, before you did that, you get to choose from three cards and pick one. And it would go into your hand. And then if you played the first one, it would replicate that throughout your game so that you would continue to get it later. So you could potentially get three or four Sylvanases showing up in your hand. But at various times, it also completely got rid of your entire hand and gave you a brand new one. So that's a lot of stuff going on with this brawl.
Yeah, so playing the cards that you wanted duplicated early really helped. Like, I played a Demolisher, which is a 3 casting cost, 1/4 mech. At the start of your turn, deal 2 damage to a random enemy. At some point, I had 3 of these in play, and they're just throwing out their bombs first turn. I mean, the beginning of my turn every time. And that was really fun. It helped me win. But my opponents had some pretty darn good cards coming out with multiples, too. But did you notice that there were some problems? If you accidentally let the fuse go to completion...
If you thought too long.
That would screw you, because the next turn, the fuse goes fast. The problem is, you're looking at the 3 cards and you have to choose. And before you have a chance to actually choose that card, the fuse is gone. And so that happened to me. I was multitasking and the fuse got away from me once and I just had to concede. And I was playing someone else the next day and the same thing or something similar happened to them. They let the fuse go, and then they couldn't get a turn out, so they conceded too. So that's kind of an unfortunate thing that I don't think they foresaw, but it was one of my favorite brawls. What about you?
I really, really liked it, and I'm trying to look up a card right now that I don't have in my decks. And after I played it, I didn't write it down, but I intended to go back and find it. What's the card? Do you remember the card that every time you cast you play a card, it gains like 1/1 or something?
Is that the adventurer? The questing adventurer guy?
Might be. Hold on.
Yes, questing adventurer. Whenever you play a card, gain +1/+1.
Yes, that was him. Now, I don't know why I've never put him in my deck. I honestly don't. I should put him in my ping deck because he's only 3 casting cost.
I used to see him a lot, not so much with recent expansions.
Well,
but
you know,
he
I've never
played,
played
a
him.
Lot.
I never played him, and then I was playing in the Dex Assemble. I was playing, and he came up, and he came up quickly, so I used my coin on turn 2, so I was able to cast him immediately. And then he became the card that it would give me again later, unbeknownst to me, because I was still trying to figure it out. At one point, he was like a 10-10 creature. Or he had been hit, so he was like only a 10-3. And he went over, and then I got something else. It was my Shaman deck. I'm sorry, it wasn't the Mage, it was a Shaman deck. And I gave him Wind Fury. So I was able to like pump for 20. And then that player killed him. And then I had another one in my hand, so I just, the next turn I cast it, and I cast a few others, and bam, he was powerful again, and the guy conceded. And I was like, wow, in a normal, small, fast deck, it's a regular card. It's not, you know, it's what you'd call vanilla at this point. And I've never played it, and I just got to see the beauty of it when it really works. I mean, every time I played a card, and it sounds so stupid. We've been doing this podcast for 2 years, and I'm now saying, wow, this is an awesome card, but wow, this is an awesome card.
Well, you used to kill him as soon as your opponent played one because he annoyed you that much. And I remember why you didn't play him. You hate his voice when he comes out. He does
give
something like, give me a quest.
Yes.
Very annoying. But
why don't you play this card? I don't like the emote. No.
There were some other flaws. I'm noticing weapons and spells were extraordinarily rare, other than the coins they give you.
Yeah.
I saw very few, any spells. And I think I saw an eagle horn bow once, but mostly it was minions to choose from. And a lot of times it was, you know how Ugly Brute was saying, ever notice when you get those choices, you get one card that's exactly what you need? Well, I won't say that. But I'll say that very often there were 2 cards that would have been completely worthless for the type of deck. So sometimes the choice wasn't so much a choice. But it was, again, I say it was fun.
It was fun, but they were
my problems
they ran a
with
little
it
long.
Weren't that big. Oh, yeah. They did run long. I'll give you that. They probably ran 2 to 3 times a normal game length.
Yeah.
Because of all that picking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick,
and then
pick.
Not only was it picking, but you're trying to figure out what you want to do, because I don't know if you're like me, or most players, I'm sure, kind of try to think of turns ahead of time. Like, I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to do this later, and I'm going to do this after that. Well, you can't do that, because all of a sudden your hand's going to change entirely. Everything in your hand disappears.
And it's always 4 cards you draw.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Yep.
So nobody had a full hand. Nobody had an empty hand. So any decks that relied on, any strategies that relied on the number of cards in your hand, well, forget about that.
Yeah.
But it was fun. And
it
I
was
see
fun.
People in the audience talking about it, and they had fun too. So I think this was well received.
Absolutely. One of the better ones, definitely. So since we're talking about the Tavern Brawl, there was some data mining that was being done. And they found 5 new brawls alongside 8 new brawl chalkboard images. 2 of the chalkboards are defaults, both with and without side borders. Basically, They found scenarios, which is a new way of doing things. The file mainly contained data for adventurers and tutorials, and then some dev tests. So they don't know whether or not they're really going to be accessible, or they're just kind of playing adventures menu. But they found, let's see, a co-op, a gift exchange. Great Father is dropping crates on the battlefield. Get a gift each time you smash your opponent's crate or your own. Battle of the builds. What's better, battle cry, death rattle, spells, or murlocs? Make a deck, pick a side, and find out. Deal your fate. The tavern keeper foretells a fateful brawl. You and your opponent discover random fates that affect you both. And now the fate cards. Are you there yet?
No, but I can be.
Okay. Fate cards are zero casting costs that are just like slammers. Casting cost of zero. Fate spells. Spells cost one less. Casting cost zero. Dire fate. Unstable portals. Place three unstable portals in each player's hand. Fate coin. When a minion dies, the owner gets a coin. Whenever you play a spell, gain three armor. When a minion dies, its owner gets one mana banana. For a zero casting cost, dire fate. Taunt and charge. All minions have taunt and charge. So these are all cards that were data mined for the Deal Your Fate Brawl. I mean, I think those are going to be fun. I'm hoping those come out fast because that looks like it's going to be a blast. And then there's a Blingtron's Beauteous Brawl. Blingtron is ready to rumble. He changes your hero power to get a random weapon and he gives you random weapons. I'm not sure about that. That's more mechy. So what do you think of the Fate? Do you have any other Fate ones you wanted to mention?
Well, there's Murlocs and Murloc Bonus. Murlocs for zero casting costs. Each player gets a 1/1 Murloc at the end of their turn. Or Murloc Bonus, you get a 1/1 Murloc at the end of your turn. There's all kinds of stuff here. Fate Armor. Each player gains 2 armor at the start of their turn. But it's unclear how these are actually going to work. Mm-hmm. Is it a one-time thing, or does it like stay on the board and happen every turn like an enchantment would in Magic the Gathering? Looking forward to see how they work.
Yeah.
And but then I'm all for anything that shakes up the game and gives us something to do other than just, you know, play in ranked, play in casual, play in arena. Those are fun, but they invented the Brawl to shake things up and give us opportunities. And I find myself actually playing the Brawl for most of my quests these days.
Yeah, because you can, if you, I mean, they count for the quests, they count for the Brawl. So if you could win, you get your pack. And if you're having fun, you can finish your quest. So, yeah.
And the Brawls have been so different. And, you know, unless they're alternating in an old one, you only have like 4 or 5 days that you can play it. So you might as well just go in there and enjoy it. Try to do your quests unless you really, really hate it.
It's kind of sad.
I still hate the ones I have to build my own deck for. But if you don't have to go through the trouble of building your own deck and it's pre-made, that lets you get in there and play. And you don't have to concentrate on, first I build a deck, now I play. So
well,
now
here's
you
something
can
totally
not just
silly.
Play, but quest. Go ahead, what's the silly thing?
Totally silly. I would love to be able to, when I'm not actually brawling, if I just want to have fun and I don't want to be competing against somebody and I don't want to be spending the money and doing a wing, to be able to do past brawls, to go into a drop-down menu where I can pick a brawl type and just play it for fun. And oh, fine, it doesn't have
against
to count.
Against the AI?
Yeah, why not?
I suppose that's an option.
I just think it could be fun. When you just don't, you know, you don't want to be hardcore competing and you just want to play. And
it'd be memory intensive, though, for people who play on phones and pads, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe. Just an idea. It would be nice to have some sort of drop-down where we can go to past brawls and play them again.
But they don't want you playing the AI. They want you playing real people.
Well, okay. Oh, that's true, because that would be the problem. You need somebody else choosing the same type.
Right.
Okay, fine. Never mind. All right, so I am still short of last week's League of Explorers by like 75. So I didn't get to... I'm going to start saving for the next expansion after this one's completed, and that's it. Once I have 3,000 gold, then I can start spending it on packs. But I'm gonna hoard gold. Let me dragon, because I didn't get to play this week and you did. So, talk to me.
I did. So, League of Explorers, Wing 3. I forgot what Wing 3 was called, but...
It was the Ruined City.
Right, the Ruined City. And that actually... That's the one in Stranglethorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it looks like what that really is one of the Zuls. Zul'Garub, maybe, I think. In any event, it was fun. So, the first boss you face is Lord Slitherspear. He's got a hero power to summon a 1-1 Hungry Naga, but you have to save Sir Finley from the pot. Now, Sir Finley is a 0-5 taunt minion in the pot, and he's so cute, he's talked to you, he's like, it's getting rather warm in here. Once you've rescued Finley from the pot, you get to play Sir Finley on your side. I didn't put it to test to see what would happen if Sir Finley died, but I made sure that I didn't attack with him against other minions because I wanted to keep him alive. Again, I have no idea if that mattered. But once he's out of the pot, you don't get 1-1 Hungry Nagas anymore as your opponent's hero power. The hero power of Lord Slitherspear becomes +2 attack after you save Sir Finley from the pot. Actually doesn't say that last part.
It so just his plus hero two power attack. Changes.
Yeah, it went from 1-1 Hungry Naga summoned to +2 attack. So he is bashing on you now like, you know, a warrior with a weapon. But it was fun, and it was a cute mechanic, and a cute little story, and I one-shotted him with my Tournament Hunter.
Okay.
Then there was the next one, Giant Finn. So here's the problem for Giant Finn. It was the ultimate Murloc deck. So anybody who hates playing against Murloc decks probably did not enjoy this one. Giant Finn was this giant fishy Murloc thing, and
that's hero, the boss.
Yeah, Giant Finn. Hero power is draw cards until you have as many as your opponent. So he was always
hero power.
Yeah. His hero power is to make sure he never has fewer cards than me, basically. And with the Murloc deck, he's got a lot of these, like, zero casting cost baby Murlocs he's throwing out. I played a Face Hunter against this one, and I beat him. So I, like, went to the face before he had a chance to overwhelm me with Murlocs, and there were a lot. And, of course, my Face Hunter deck has explosive traps in it. So blowing up tons of baby Murlocs was really fun. The third one...
Oh, that sounded so cruel.
Yeah, and they cry and everything. It was so fun. The third one was Lady Nazjar, and she's a Naga, and... her hero power is destroy minions, and it brings out a higher cost minion. So, I don't remember the details of that. I played my Your Mother is a Hamster deck, my Taunt Warrior, and I one-shotted Lady Nazjar. So, I guess I one-shotted everyone in there, but then we get to the challenges. Now, even though we have another wing left, there were three challenges here. We had the Hunter Challenge, the Shaman Challenge, and the Priest Challenge. So I played the Hunter Challenge, and that was against Slitherspear, because they kind of went in order, and I one-shot Slitherspear. Then the Shaman Challenge against Giant Finn, not quite as easy. I lost the first game. I got totally overrun by Murlocs, and I got no spells. Not one spell in my Shaman. And I'm like, okay, this is a Shaman deck. There should be lightning and all kinds of stuff. Nope, no spells. So how do you take out a gazillion Murlocs with no spells and they have more minions than you? Well, you don't. So in my second game, I got one spell. I got one of those lightning storm spells, and it helped me when the board was full. It cleared the board. It was the only spell I got, but that was enough. That one spell was enough to get me the win. So I beat the Shaman Challenge on game two. Then came my favorite hero, the Priest. So the Priest gets to fight Lady Nazjar, and I got totally annihilated in the first game. I don't even remember what I did or didn't do. She just creamed me. Remember Nax, that problem we were having, I was having with the warrior, where I almost like threw my computer out the window?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't that frustrated.
It was the second week, I think, that you finally beat it.
Yeah, just before they nerfed it, too. Remember they said, we've nerfed it, it will result in less hair pulling? It actually said that in the patch note.
Is that what happened?
Yes, it did. But the Priest did not make me that angry or frustrated, but she did annihilate me that bad the first time. She kept getting upgraded to awesome legendaries. So you know how I said her hero power is to upgrade her heroes? Well, at one point she had a Tyrion with his shield and his divine shield and taunt out, and a Ragnaros at the same time. I mean, that's the level of minions she was getting against me. I just couldn't.
You just reminded me of something.
Okay, well, I'm almost done.
When you're finished with this, let's go back to the Wintervale stuff.
So it was a very long second game. In fact, almost to fatigue on the second game, but I finally won it. So I got all my challenge cards and I got all my adventure cards, and I am not going to do heroic. No way.
I'm still going to. I want that back. I didn't get to play much this week, but... And of course, I'm a week behind with the wings, but I'm going to go through all of them.
Well, you wanted to go back to the Wintervale stuff, you said.
Yes, I did. Because you mentioned Ragnaros. And one thing I didn't mention is that Wintervale is going to have some different greeting emotes. Heroes will have new emotes inside the special event Tavern Brawl. All heroes will be able, I think they all say, Happy Feast of Wintervale. Jaraxxus says, I will feast on your soul this Wintervale. And you mentioned Ragnaros. He says, winter should be warmer. And Medivh says, happy feasting, Challenger. So they're not only do they do some beautiful new graphics for the season on the boards, but even the heroes are going to be saying different things. So it's just neat. I love that Blizzard throws these little presents in their normal games.
Yeah, they want to keep people interested.
Yeah, I remember games we used to play that, I think EverQuest, where you actually, in order to get the little perks, you'd have to buy an expansion to get the simplest little perks that Blizzard would throw at us. Unless I'm not remembering things right.
No, it may have been. I don't remember EverQuest doing holidays and stuff, but WoW has always done that sort of thing.
And I love that. I love that about them. They really
since you're talking about emotes, I have to go back in time, too. Remember I was reading off last week all of the different emotes that the innkeeper would do?
Yes.
And Ugly Brute was saying that there was one that he heard and it wasn't on the list? I heard it today. So he was right. It said, I can tell you have some new stories tonight. Those
yes.
are the words.
Yeah.
So he said it was there and it just wasn't on our list. And it's very odd that was missing from the wiki. But I wanted to bring that up. Because I know Ugly Brute is going to listen to us, even though he's not talking with us.
Of course he is.
So you are right, Ugly Brute.
Yep, and Ugly Brute, you're going to have to play a brawl if you want that card back. So, all right, let's talk about the cards that came from this newest wing. The Huge Toad. And there were lots of them on, what is it, Thunder Island? What was that island? Thunder Island.
Timeless Island.
Timeless Isle. Huge Toads. We always ran across those. So this is a two casting cost.
Well, you know,
Huge
Toad was a play on a player's, a Blizzard employee's name, Utah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's an employee at Blizzard named Utah, and they would call him Huge Toad. So that's an homage to him.
Oh, no. Anyway, it's got a death rattle. Deal one damage to a random minion. A random enemy. So it could actually be the hero, not only the minion. I'm sorry about that. The death rattle is deal one damage to a random enemy. Two casting costs, 3/2. What do you think of this card? Sell me on it. I'm like looking at it going, oh, by the way, the flavor text of this says deals damage when he croaks. Ha ha.
When
get it.
He croaks. Ha ha ha.
I don't really see a lot that it does. I mean, if you've got a knife juggler, it's going to do one damage when it comes out. So it's a low casting cost. The death rattle, if you have something that doubles the death rattle, so it would do two damage to a random enemy minion, but it just doesn't seem like it's that powerful.
Well,
and it doesn't have to be. We shouldn't always look for powerful cards.
Well, you know what Ben Brode was saying about making the new cards better than the old ones. So there is a 3-2 for 2 card in Hearthstone from Vanilla. It was either a raptor or a crocodile. And I always confuse the two because one is a 3-2, the other is a 2-3. And it doesn't do anything for you other than be a 3-2 for 2. Well, this adds something to that. It gives the death rattle, as little as it is, and it's also a beast, so it synergizes. So if a hunter wants to play something that is affected by beasts while having enough mana to actually have the beast, there's this. So it could come in handy in certain types of decks.
Well, it can.
But,
I mean,
but you're getting a 3-attack minion there on turn 2.
Right.
And so that's really the benefit. I don't know
actually,
if I'd use it, but
if you think about
people
it,
will.
For that 2 mana, the next turn you can kill if they have like a 4-4 creature out, you could kill that 4-4 creature because you're going to hit it for 3, but you're also going to, if it's the only one out, you're going to ping it.
Yeah, if it's the only one out, right.
Yep.
And in a hunter deck, you know, you could cast this on turn 2, and then on turn 3 you get your companion, and then the companion could be the Leo that adds +1, so suddenly he attacks for 4, or if it's the Misha the bear that's got taunt, it might protect him, so he'll live a little longer. So there are some synergies, but
yep. Or you can kill that 3-3 bear that has taunt, and you can do one damage to another enemy. So yeah, there is a lot. It's 2 mana.
It's not terrible,
it's
and it's
not
only
a
common quality
to bring out. Yep.
So you know, maybe it's something you can grab when you're in arena. That would you know, because arenas, what experienced arenas tell me, arena players tell me, is it's all about board control with minions. So he's a powerful early minion that you don't expect to live. In fact, that's why he's got a death rattle. You don't expect him to live.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a terrible card.
No, it's not.
I'm not sure
it's actually,
I'll use it.
I got sold on it, actually. I kind of like it now. I can see it actually doing a good amount of... Because, again, it's quick to come out. It's a 3-2 card, and it can take out the little 1-1s that get pinged out. If you're playing against the Paladin, it'll take out, you know, one of the little guys. I mean, yeah, it's got a little perk. It's kind of cute. Oh, it's a frog.
It's a toad.
Okay, fine. It rivets.
It's next. A rivet.
It's riveting. Ribbiting.
So, Gorilla Bot A3, which is kind of a play on the Amy 1 quest in Ungoro Crater.
Yeah.
So, 4 casting cost, 3-4 mech. So, something for the mech decks. Battle Cry, if you control another mech, discover a mech. That's a really, really
That's
great
fun.
Synergy for mech decks. And
that's fun.
You're getting... I mean, 3-4 is not too terrible for a 4
No,
casting
it's
cost.
Not.
And you get a free minion.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
This is perfect for a mech deck.
Yep.
Mech
if
mage.
If I still had a mech deck, I think I disassembled them all. I would put him in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're getting 2 cards for the price of 1.
Yep. Well, you're getting 2 card draw, essentially. You draw
I mean,
this
2
card,
creatures.
You're playing
you get,
it.
When you play
yeah.
it, you get 2 creatures.
But it's not for the same cost.
But the but the thing is, no. It says discover. Oh, I'm sorry. It
discover
into
means
your hand.
It goes into your hand,
right.
Not into play.
Silly me. I was seeing this. All right.
So both of those that we just talked about came from Lord Slithersphere.
I like
so
them.
That was the first adventure in that wing.
Okay.
Now for the next adventure, Giant Fin.
Any fin can happen. It's 10 casts. summon 7 Murlocs that die this game. Well,
that died this game.
Right. That's what I said.
Okay. I didn't hear the D.
Died.
It's like, summon 7 Murlocs that will definitely die.
In any case, obviously you want this in a Murloc deck.
Yep, end game.
All there is to it.
10 casting costs.
Yep.
You know you will have lost 7 Murlocs by then.
So if you play a Murloc deck, put it in there. If you don't, don't. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, just fill your board. Fill your board with Murlocs.
Yep.
I don't want to see this card played against me.
No.
I'm really sick of Murloc decks. I might make one just to be trolly.
I think I might. Just for the fun. I'll break down and make a Murloc Warlock deck.
And the next card is no help.
No, because it's 0 casting cost. Go ahead.
So 0 casting cost, 1/1 Murloc called the Murloc Tiny Fin. And they're just baby little Murlocs.
With a little baby sword.
And what's cool about it is most people snub their nose at 0 casting cost minions, but you got all those minions that are made more powerful by having other Murlocs on the board. There you go. Pop, pop.
Yeah. He's suddenly a lot more powerful if you've got those extra Murlocs out there. And again, if they all come out at the same time with 7, I mean, he could theoretically, if he's part of those 7 Murlocs that died this turn, he could come out being a 5/6 creature, not a 1/1.
Yeah, it really, if you wanted to make a tribal deck, what we call in Magic a tribal deck, and only include minions of a certain type, I think at this point Murlocs are the only ones that could do it. I don't think you can make an all pirate deck or an all dragon deck, but you can certainly make, well, I guess you can make an all beast deck.
Make an all dragon deck.
Yeah, a viable one? Play no minions for the first 5 turns? No, I'm just kidding.
Hmm.
But Murlocs are cheap and heavy, and Blizzard is just feeding the trolls here. But no, it's fun. People like Murloc decks. They're iconic. They're fun. They're cute. But
I now think they're the deadly mascot of Blizzard.
It is the mascot.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're a proponent of Murloc decks, then these are... I'm not so sure that anything can happen is great, but I think this little 0 casting cost guy is great.
There are Murlocs that give you your Murlocs charge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, think about that. Casting anything can happen, and a charging Murloc, a whole bunch of them. I don't know. We'll have to. I don't play Murlocs, so I don't really know the cards. But yeah, this could be... This could be brutal, and I'm expecting to see these coming out soon. The next card is not a Murloc, it's a beast. And this shifts over to your Lady Nazjar.
Yep, snakes.
1 casting cost. Why did it have to be snakes? 2/1 beast. Destroy any minion damaged by this minion.
So he's a throwaway card just to kill something else.
He's a throwaway card unless you pump him. If you put him in a priest deck and you throw a couple of extra spells on him, he could become a lot more powerful and still kill things just by touching them.
Well, he's a beast deck, and currently there are 3 classes that have beast-specific cards.
Not priests.
Hunter, druid, and that one wacko warrior beast. If you're making a druid beast deck, this would probably go better in that, because druids could pump up their minions better than hunters can. But I don't like it, even if it does destroy another minion. I mean, it's probably good for taking out those low casting cost annoying ones, like the Northshire cleric, priestess, whatever her name is. Northshire cleric, right?
Yes.
So you get him out on turn 1. But if you're facing a druid or a rogue or a mage and they have 2 mana, he's dead meat. Just going to use the hero power against him. I don't think he's a very good card.
If you can keep him alive.
That's
then,
the point.
Yeah.
It's so easy to take him out long before he gets to
attack. Yeah, because I mean, you throw him out against a mage and before he ever gets to touch anything, he's dead. That's too dangerous to have out there.
Yeah. Unless you have the one card in the Hunter deck that lets you give your Beast charge. And even then, I would never use it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. The next one? I don't know. Your cards cost 5. It's the Naga Sea Witch. Go ahead, hon. Sorry.
5 casting costs epic, 5/5. So I think the design of this is to play it on, you know, midway through the game, not early in the game. So that, you know, you get a 10 casting cost or 9 casting cost minion out for only 5 mana. Or for that matter, spells. Imagine being able to cast a Pyroblast for 5. Or that 10 casting cost priest card that steals other minions for 5. It's got its advantages.
Well, also, if you think about it, the minute it hits the board, you're going to want to kill it. Because if you drop this thing on turn 5, you can bring... Oh, what's the big... The giant stompy dinosaur.
King Crush
can come out on turn 6. Ysera can come out on turn 6.
Yeah, what about if you play her on turn 4 or 3 because you're playing a druid?
Oh my god. Yes. Or with a coin.
Yep.
Yeah, this is going to be a card to be reckoned with.
I think the potential is there for her to be very deadly.
Yeah.
And it's not always so easy to take out a 5/5 so quickly.
No. I think this is an awesome card, actually. Is she specific?
No, she's a neutral card.
I'm sorry, I just lost my place here. Okay, so she's... I want to see does it say what her flavor text is? Her flavor text is, if she had studied harder, she would have been a C-plus witch. She's a sea witch, so she would have been a C-plus witch. Oh, Blizzard.
Well, there are two other cards that came with defeating Lady Nazjar. Kind of like the wing bonus ones.
You want to do... I've lost... I think this one is mine, actually. Yes?
Yep.
Okay. 4 casting cost, Jungle Moonkin. It's a 4/4 creature. It's a beast. Got a lot of beasts coming out with this one. Beasts, Murlocs. Both players have spell damage +2. Let me guess. You don't like this.
I don't know if I'd say I don't like it, but I'm not going to give my opponent spell damage +2.
That's what I meant. That is exactly what I thought you were saying.
Whether I like it and whether I'll play it might be two different things.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking,
I'm biased. I just don't like giving my opponent a leg
right?
up.
Right? Let me see if I can think of something. It's a rare. Did I say it was a rare?
Well, you just said it again if you did.
Okay. I'm not sure about that. You can obviously be casting, like, swipes would be pretty much devastating because you've got +2 spell damage. It's definitely something to put in a druid deck. Definitely something to do with a mage deck. But it also gives your opponent that much of an advantage. So if I was playing a mage and somebody threw this down, I might be sitting there cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think I would play it. I don't think so. So shall we move on? Since
sure.
Both of us kind of said, I don't think so.
I don't have much to say about it.
All right. Oh my gosh, I looked at the time. Okay. Go for the next one, hon.
Okay. Sir Finley Murgleton, he's the legendary. Battlecry, discover a new basic hero power. It's a 1 casting cost, 1/3. So he doesn't stick around, and it's a discover. He will give you a choice of 3 hero powers that you can use. Now, I actually used him in the adventure. In the actual adventure where you get him. I was using a warlock, and I turned my warlock's hero power into a steady shot that you normally have with a hunter. So it was fun to use. I don't know if I'd use him very often. It depends on the type of deck I'm building. If I want to build a deck with a certain class, and I don't really want to use that class's hero power, or at least not through the whole game, then yeah, he could be useful, and he's cheap.
I had him come out a couple times, actually, in my brawl, because there was something I was playing where he was coming out, and I know I didn't dream this, because I got to choose different hero powers, and I wound up being a mage with a crossbow, So I was able to do two, you know, over the head.
Steady shot.
Steady shots, yep. No. My mage power was able to do 2 points of damage to the opposing hero.
That's not what this card does.
Okay, then what was I playing?
You were confusing it with just a card, True Heart, which makes the hero power tougher.
No. I was a mage playing with a hunter ability.
That's steady shot.
No, discover a new basic hero power. The hero power of a hunter is to do 2 points of damage.
Right, it's called steady shot.
Well, why didn't you say steady shot?
I did 4 times.
All right, anyway, you're right. I'm sorry. But yes, I was a mage with a crossbow. It was really awesome. I'm sorry, honey. Dart Trap is a 2-mana secret for a hunter.
I think we should hold the rest of them off till next week.
Oh, okay. All right. We started late. I apologize. I didn't realize time got away from us because time got away from us. So we will save the Dart Trap. Everfin is awesome and Entomb for next week. Apologies to Holosuite Media and to everybody else because we started late and ran late. Anything else, Autumn's Bane?
No, I'm just glad we were actually getting back into the game. Thanks. Thank you, forums.
Yes, thank you, forums, and I hope we helped anybody who was having a vast problems that couldn't find it in the forums. You can find us at awohearthstone.com. You can download our podcasts there if you're having trouble with iTunes or anywhere else. You can also find us on holosuitemedia.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @aworthyopponent. You can listen to us at twitch.tv/holosuitemedia on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can send us an email at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can download us from iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. You can find us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google+, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media, theme music provided by Awesome City Limits. And thank you again, Knickknack, for the game feeds. Anyway, this is Black Lace. We'll be seeing you next week. Again, Ugly Brutless. And he'll be back, we promise. Everybody, happy hearthing.
Production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at @WorthyOpponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.